Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Institute for Personal Development, Kriya Yoga Ashram, where total consciousness is the new frontier.
Kriya Yoga is union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices to initiate this process.
Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Choi, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of the Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good today. How about you?
I'm doing pretty good today, thanks. And we'd like to thank you all for tuning in. So today on the Voice of Yoga, we will be discussing the distinct differences between secular and spiritual approaches to life. As we think, we know it. Listen as we explore some of the most common misconceptions concerning a spiritual life. In this show, we will focus on the benefits of living by grace as opposed to material and mental human means. Spirituality isn't magic. It is a science and must be demonstrable. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. We are talking consciousness. And join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance, get the light in your soul, and live out from the truth. So, Swami, I have some writings here by Joel S. Goldsmith, and I thought I would start the show with this particular quote. So Joel writes, "You will be greatly helped in your spiritual life if you spend a few minutes each day in meditation to realize the presence of God, and then to feel that this oneness with God constitutes your oneness with all spiritual beings. This divine union brings the entire spiritual universe into your individual experience." So I thought that'd be a great quote or a great writing to start today's show.
Okay, and I agree with it. A lot of it has to do with what we think meditation is. Because by definition, meditation in the Kriya Yoga model is the seventh stage of yoga, which means there's a lot of preparatory work that must be in place. But the other thing that you learn is that meditation isn't really an isolated activity that you do independent of life. It becomes your state of being, that you live out from a meditative state. And that's where practical application of spirituality comes in, because to truly understand what meditation is, you must understand the first stage of yoga. And your first yama is what they call, or your fifth yama is what they call brahmacharya, which is carrier of Brahman. So the individual must join with the divine, which means that you have to make a split from material values, your connection to sensual perception, and join with the invisible, intangible source of spirit. And so coming back to what we say in the opening, what we're trying to do here is uncover a lot of the misconceptions that are out there. There's a lot of language that people throw around and words that they use. But when you're trying to apply it to a spiritual science, you really have to be pinpointed with your definitions, because what you're going to find is that a miss is as good as a mile when it comes to your final outcome.
Well, I think what I liked most about that quote is when he was talking about realizing the presence of God and to feel that this oneness with God constitutes your oneness with all spiritual beings. And that is a practice that I've been working with myself to try to make sure I not only incorporate that with every person that I come across, but it's not just a practice, it's I'm trying to make that a way of being.
Right. And in Kriya Yoga, we call that skillful use of thought. The whole thing of putting God first and translating that into using what you need, your number one need, as a symbol for validation. What that does is it gives you an anchor that you live out from, because when your relationship with the divine becomes your source of sustenance and it becomes your symbol for validation, and not just academically or intellectually, but you really desire or you love spirit. You love the Lord thy God with your heart, your soul, and your mind. Or even the first beatitude, blessed are the poor of spirit. Because the poor of spirit are the ones who can't get enough of spirit, that they are so addicted to the presence of God. Because that's the first thing that you want to learn, is that being spiritual is not abstaining, and it shouldn't be a struggle. It's really a substitution, that you've become addicted to something other than what is visible and tangible or invisible and tangible, and now you are addicted to the invisible intangible, which is the truth or the one true God that they all talk about. But when you internalize that, and the availability of that is your source of sustenance, then you're in bedrock. Now you have an anchor. Otherwise, we spend the rest of our days searching, because our bodies are constantly looking for validation. There is this whole thing that is driven by instinct, preservation, and survival, that just wants to know that we're going to be okay. And when we internalize divine law or the presence of God as that symbol, that is what produces the stillness that they talk about, that brings clarity to the mind. But it's not magic. It definitely is physics.
Well, I want to paraphrase something else from these same writings by Joel Goldsmith. So living the true spiritual life, you're not waiting for calls of discord and in harmony. You're living in such a state of consciousness that God alone is the reality. And I've been doing some reading between reality and unreality. And I think it might be appropriate that we could talk about the differences between the two in this particular show.
Well, yeah. I mean, as you start to drill down with those two subjects, what we really find is that most of us have it backwards. What we think is real are the things that are visible and tangible and verifiable through our senses. But what we're finding with the discoveries in quantum physics, and also discoveries that have been around in metaphysics, at least since Mary Baker Eddy has been on the planet, is that it is really the invisible and the intangible that is real. And what is visible and tangible, or things that are invisible but tangible, are the unreal. And once we start to understand this and we start to move from depending on the testimony of our senses, which primarily functions with duality, with things visible and tangible, or invisible but tangible, and we start to rely on the sustaining infinite, this whole thing of truth or the presence of divine law, because that is the changeless state of being. That is the constant that you can really ground yourself in, and it is more trustworthy.
I was reading a little further on in these works from Joel Goldsmith that I have, and he says, you must pray without ceasing. You must know the truth without ceasing. And he says that in the 15th chapter of John, it states, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. But then there's a caution that he says the spiritual life isn't a matter of mere blind faith, saying, I believe in God, so let God do it. In the spiritual life, we need to uphold the principle of praying without ceasing.
Yeah, I agree with that. And a lot of that has to do with what I call rebirthing your body in the life force. So that you, and I think the Bible refers to this whole dynamic as putting off the old man. Because we really have to make this new covenant, that we have to separate from our attachment to things visible and tangible, and then start to replace all our dependencies on what was visible and tangible and invisible and tangible to a dependency on what is invisible and intangible. Because there's a different return that comes with that. When we give up our functioning from the lower mind and then start to use the lower mind primarily as an avenue of awareness, and then and we have recognition for the presence of divine mind. That's how it all starts, because the divine mind really is the mind of the creator, the original creator, and it is grounded in spiritual law, not the same law that the lower mind functions in, which is duality or karma. And it requires a belief in two powers. But when we move into the realms of the higher mind, in the realms of spirit, we are now in unity consciousness. We're now in the realms of one. And in that domain, there are different laws that are at work. Spiritual law is the law of harmony. It is the law of life. It is the law of love, the law of principle. And there's no opposing force to that. That's why spiritual power is so different than what we think power is, because we're always dealing with the law of opposites, conflicting forces. Spiritual power is the absence of any kind of conflict. It's not just the presence of good with the absence of bad, but it is absolute goodness with no opposing force.
So we know and recognize that God is spirit, God is infinite. Spiritual law is the only law, as you've been saying all along, and spiritual life is the only life. So how do we know if that is the true wisdom, if spiritual intelligence is the true wisdom, how do we know that if we have a thought that it is actually coming from this spiritual intelligence?
Well, if it is in accordance with divine law, if what you're thinking is in harmony with the principles of the divine, which means that it is nothing but peace, love, happiness, goodness, and there's nothing in opposition to that, that could be trustworthy. It not necessarily could equal it, because we are still dealing with a human understanding or concept of what these terms may imply. Until we really have this revelation, and we know that the Christian concept of I and the Father are one, becomes a reality for you experientially, which means that you move from a personal sense of I into this spiritual sense of selfhood. Then from that point on, now you are operating from divine law.
Well, I think it's about that time we need to pause to hear a word from our sponsors. So, listeners, we'll be back with you in just a few moments.
Kriya Yoga Theory 1, Human Development and the 8 Essential Stages of Kriya Yoga. This program is a comprehensive course that will help you get your arms around the science of Kriya Yoga. It provides a clear understanding of the goals and objectives behind yoga, along with the physics of spirituality. It includes the practices, supportive concepts of Kriya Yoga, and the process in human development, apotheosis, the process of the human becoming divine, a complete guide on how to become a human in the adult state. Get the light in your soul and experience the simplicity and joy of union with the divine. This course is available in live classes at the ashram or online with 8 videos or 4 CDs. Visit our website, www.ipdtransform.com, for more information.
Welcome back. For those of you just joining us, you're listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. So, Swami, what I wanted to do, I wanted to open up this half of the program with a quote from Joel Goldsmith, and that is, I am the spiritual life force which is functioning from the within to the without, and that life force constitutes my true and individual being. Now, in the show, in the summary, we said that we were going to talk about the misconceptions concerning a spiritual life, and I was wondering if maybe you could give us some of your thoughts about what you think those misconceptions are.
Well, I think the biggest problem is sometimes when we're doing things materially, we're doing things mentally, but we're calling it spiritual. That going from material laws, conditions, and means has a very specific outcome for it. And moving into mental beliefs, thoughts, opinions, also has another effect on our reality. Understanding ourselves spiritually, to me, is kind of like the ultimate goal. And why do we want to understand ourselves spiritually is because divine mind can do what the human mind-body complex cannot do. And that is, divine mind holds the template for perfect creation, for our original form of creation. And everything else that we do with material means or mental means is really an approximation of that. And so, divine mind holds what I would call infallibility, that it has the template that is backed by principle and truth.
I'm wondering if you can explain to me this particular phrase. In the spiritual life, the world is no more good than it is evil.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about, is to understanding ourselves spiritually, is to understanding ourselves from unity consciousness, from the absolute, which is not a mix of good and evil. That's all part of the karmic pattern. That's a different level of consciousness completely. And it originates from the simple fact that in order for something to manifest, it had to split from unity, from the unified state. It manifests in half and leaves behind a complementary, unmanifested other part. That's where our senses pick up their information, because nothing is manifesting whole. There's contrast. There's a point of departure that enables our senses to pick up what's before them. But when we're trying to understand ourselves spiritually, that's a whole different realm or dimension of reality, and it is the realm of holiness. And the reason they called it that was because there were no opposites. It's just absolute good. But we're accustomed to understanding things from the perspective of duality. And again, coming back to a misconception, is that when we think karma, the laws of karma, are divine laws. That's a huge misconception. In fact, most of the Old Testament, what they call God, is really the law of karma. There is no punishing God. That would be ungodly. That's unlikely. That doesn't prove out scientifically. God is absolute goodness. Where did this concept of God that had human qualities with superhuman capabilities, where did that originate? It originated from the law of karma, which is the law of opposites, but it's how things come into form. Now, spiritual law is above karmic law, and that's why this whole thing of spiritual understanding and the practical guide of true spiritual reality is a step up above the cycle of death and rebirth. Now you're under different rulership, different laws apply, because you're in a different dimension of reality.
So I know it's important to live from the perspective of a spiritual identity. And I know we've been talking a lot about appearances and things like that. So how do we go about, when we look at somebody and we see, have these things happen to us, these appearances, how can we not react to them to be in a spiritual way?
Well, just what you said, by not reacting to them, because if we react to them, we're reacting to what we see with our senses. Now, in order to be able to rise above that, you must pierce through the appearance, what is being reported through your senses. And you must understand that what is before you, and the term in yoga is called namaste, it is the presence of divine law, that every appearance that comes before us has its origins in spirit. Everything is spirit revealing itself to us. Now, once we start to acknowledge that presence of spirit, then that's what we actually start to manifest. So it's a good exercise. The gesture that we use, namaste, I bow to the divinity within you, is a great exercise as you start to apply it and you start to see the good in everything. You start to see the original spiritual being that underlines the appearance that is before you right now. And in doing that, you bring that out, not only in your reality, but in their reality. It's a very interesting dynamic, but observation has effect on reality.
I think this might be a good part of the program to talk again and explain the quote by C.S. Lewis that we like.
Well, yeah, see, how we think is what we become. And if we think humanly, which is to be material, mortal, and under the laws of matter or time, then we are basically sowing to the flesh, and it has tremendous limitation. And all of our effort to improve and prolong the material life is going to be stripped away at some point. And like C.S. Lewis did say, aim for heaven, earth gets thrown in. Aim for earth, you get neither. And most of us are really happy with the human experience. Most of us would be really satisfied if the human experience was void of any of the problems and challenges, and we could get more of the pleasures and profits of the human experience. There would be no need, really, for us to make any changes. And that's where when we do have problems, when things start to fail in the physical world, these are indicators that it's time to make a change. These are kind of warnings that things are going to happen here, that you're on a sinking ship. And at that point, depending on what your condition is and your circumstances are, it is to your advantage to start to get yourself ready to jump ship, because the physical world is going to fail, because even at best, it's going to end in death. But if you can figure all of this out, and then you start to make your move now, whatever gains that you make with regard to understanding yourself spiritually, that is something that you're going to be able to take with you when the time of transition comes for you. Otherwise, like Jesus said, what does it profit a human to gain the whole world but lose your soul? Because anything that we gain material-wise stays here. But whatever we gain spiritually, that is what we're going to take with us.
Well, I know you've talked a lot about the benefits of having a spiritual life and a connection to your divinity, and it can do nothing but make us more creative, you know, maybe better at our jobs. So why wouldn't we want to do this? Why wouldn't we want to aim for heaven?
Yeah, exactly. And especially when you start to drill down with it and you start to see how it is such a practical guide for highly effective living. Especially just look at one simple thing like the effects of stress on people today, fear. And most people are responding as if they're in danger when they're not in a real life-threatening situation, basically because we don't think right. We're controlled by the human thoughts that are out there, all of these human rules and false beliefs and everything that we have accepted, which basically translates into a belief in something other than God. And it is creating conflict and it's creating discord with our reality. Now, once you start to understand that there is this thing called God, and that when you join with it, you have the benefit of what we will call internal support, you can step into these challenges that most people are being medicated for with the benefit of internal support, that you basically are not reacting to the testimony of your senses anymore, because you're anchored in the truth, and the true sense of reality is found in the changeless state of being, which is spirit.
Yeah, and I'm just reading this quote too. It says, "The spiritual life is a state of grace." I think that's a real beautiful way of saying everything. And then I also really like this Bible verse, and it is, "Your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." And it just sounds so simple. All we need to do is just turn our attention to spirit.
And you're 100% right. It is simple. And that's what the Bible tells you. To love God, to seek for the kingdom of heaven. And the rest of your life, you no longer have to struggle because you live by grace and not by human effort.
Well, I do think it's about that time we have to close down our show for today. So we want to thank you for tuning in. And please visit our website, www.ipdtransform.com. Also, keep in mind, we have our Facebook Live episodes that we do every Wednesday at 5 o'clock. And be sure to tune in next week. We are going to have a show entitled Living by the Truth of Being. So, Swami, do you have any other final thoughts about today's program?
Well, I am wishing everybody success with their attempt to live out from their spiritual identity and to experience some of the benefits of internal support and how you can apply that to everyday challenges that we are confronted with. And with that, I'll wish everybody a good day. Namaste.
And thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton, along with Swami Jayananda. We'll be signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.